This morning, our hope is for something supernatural to occur. I'm fully aware that as I stand up in front here, I could have words, but you don't need words. I could have biblical truths, and you don't just need truths. What we really need this morning is an encounter with God. And so our desire is for Him to manifest Himself, and Him to make Himself known, and Him to speak, and Him to communicate. Him to be the one that reaches down inside of us and grabs us and does a work in the deep parts of our being. Our desire is, as we look at the Word of God, it's alive and active, doing its intended work deep inside of us. So because that's our goal, we need to pray. Will you join me? Almighty God, loving Heavenly Father, we celebrate You this morning. You are in charge. You are on the throne, and You are loving and kind and good. Your character never changes. And we are in awe of You this morning, and we're joining our voices with the myriad of angels and the creatures and the beasts and the elders and the people from around the world that'll one day gather in a great chorus to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Well, I'm so glad that you want to look to God's Word with me. Because we are people that need the Word of God. We need God to speak into the deep parts of our being. The reality is, as you look around the world, people are hurting. Some put on a good facade, some cover it up. But in the deep parts of our being, every one of us has encountered arrows and slings and darts and we've had deep parts of our being attacked by the lies of the world and the flesh of the devil. And so if God's going to do a healing work in each one of us, He's going to need to get down inside and allow His truth to minister there to the deep parts of our being. The family is supposed to be the safe place for children. The family environment is supposed to be where a youngster is nourished and encouraged taught the truth and enabled to grow into being who they're called to be, to reach their full potential in Christ. But the truth is that many families are places where children receive their deepest hurts, where things are said, things are done, things are not said and done that need to be said and done. And so a child grows up not experiencing the blessing that Christ had intended for them. It's amazing how the people you love the most can also hurt you the most. Hurt you the deepest. So I want to encourage you to be on a little journey with me this morning of going inside and even back in time to the things that have caused you to be scarred or wounded in one way or another. Because I think God wants to do a work in your heart today. And He wants to start a journey of healing inside of each one of your hearts today. Here's the promise from Scripture. It's from Isaiah chapter 53. Verses 4 through 5. And the prophet here is given divine revelation from God to describe the Messiah. And he describes him in amazing detail. This is 700 years before Jesus walked on the earth as a human being and was incarnate. This is the prophet telling us what Christ is going to do. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, it reads, "Surely He," that is Christ, the Messiah, "surely He took up our infirmities, and He carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed." You see, what's happening here is a substitution. Jesus stood in our place. The attacks upon Christ were intended for us. And He did so to bring victory over sin and bring the offer of salvation so we could be made children of God and brought into a relationship with God that lasts forever. But it goes beyond just saving us for the future. It also includes rescuing us from the present sorrows. It says He carried our sorrows. See, that's a promise from God. It's one that has to be received and believed, because so often people think, I need to carry my own sorrows. and people are lugging around baskets full, bags full, suitcases full, briefcases full, crates full of sorrows. And here is God saying, I'm here to carry your sorrows. I'm here to take those sorrows. We want to be people that every time something hits us, every time something hurts us, every time we have a sorrow, we're saying, this is heavy, God, but you promised to take it, so here I am. I'm offloading it to you. It doesn't mean we're not going to get hurt. But what it means is we do not have to, on our own, carry our sorrows. Breathe a little prayer right now underneath your breath, saying, God, the sorrows I have, help me give them to you this morning. Help me give my sorrows to you and allow you to carry them. See, sometimes we walk around not even aware what's going on. We're not self-aware. We're not aware of the things that we're believing, the things that we're doing because of those beliefs. We're not aware of the ways we're short-circuiting our own spiritual journey and even our own social journey. We're unaware. And so we want to be people who go deep with the Spirit of God to bring wholeness and healing to the deep parts of our being. So I want to talk about emotional healing. Emotional healing. Emotional healing is when Christ removes the wound that's become, in a sense, a stronghold in our lives, in an area of our lives that's filled with hopelessness. Christ wants to move down deep inside and bring a removal of that wound and a healing to that wound so that the hopelessness is removed and hope is put in its place. See, the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you about your heart. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to each and every one of us about our heart and its condition. It's true that the Scripture says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But it's also true that God is in the process of redeeming and then restoring and then sanctifying hearts. Your heart can become a place of encountering Christ's Word, encountering Christ's truth, and the Holy Spirit activating the Word of God. So that your heart can be made whole, made like Christ. And so the Holy Spirit's in the process of speaking to us about our hearts. And what the Holy Spirit reveals, the Holy Spirit heals. I want you to get that phrase stuck in your head for the next months as you journey in this path towards emotional healing. What the Holy Spirit reveals, the Holy Spirit heals. He brings things up and exposes things, particularly the lies you believed, so that he can speak his truth into those to replace those lies and bring healing. What the Holy Spirit reveals, the Holy Spirit heals. And he never wastes a revelation. He's going to reverse the effects of those lies, of those pains, of those wounds. So there's all sorts of different kinds of emotional wounds. There's word wounds. There's name calling. There's anger that's directed towards us. There's different kinds of offenses that we've come across. There's broken promises. There's being treated with dishonor. There's unrealistic expectations placed upon us and then disappointment expressed towards us. There's hurtful actions, there's even the failure to give the blessing we are supposed to receive. All these are ways that people are hurt. How were you hurt? In my own journey, it became apparent to me, this is over a decade ago, Lisa and I were on this amazing conference, and we're talking about the things that we believe and the things that we've picked up somewhere along our journey, and we were encouraged to think back and invite the Holy Spirit to go into our memories and pull things up. And it was a very emotional time for me. It caught me off guard because I didn't even think about these things for years, maybe decades. When I was born with a leg that wasn't facing the right direction. As a little tiny tot, I had a cast on. Of course, I have no memory of it, but I've seen the pictures. But I came out of the womb not quite right. And it was amazing to me as I was thinking about that and trying to understand the impact of that. There was this sense of, as I came out of the womb, there was disappointment in family members for what wasn't quite right with this little guy, with me. Eventually, able to start walking and moving in the right direction with both legs going the same direction. But I was never quite as coordinated as my brothers. Got an older brother, a younger brother, wonderfully gifted athletes. I was never quite there. I was never quite as good. I was never quite able to match. I was always called the clumsy one, the accident-prone one. Numerous times I heard Dad just go, yeah, accident-prone Joel. But that talks about my name. My name is Joel Walter, named after my two grandpas. But I had a speech impediment growing up. I could never say my own name. I was always Bowl Water. For years, I was teased about being Bowl Water. That's what I called myself. That's what everybody called me. Going through elementary school, speech therapy was a regular thing for me, trying to figure out how to talk. Now, the fact that I'm up here talking to you now and God's called me to be a preacher is just a testimony of the grace of God, that talking would be that God wanted to use me for. He hasn't quite used me in athletic prowess yet, but maybe that's still coming. But what we grow up with, how people refer to us, the nicknames we're given, the descriptors that people use to describe us, can wound us. I always had a sense of being less than others, a sense of not measuring up, an inferiority complex. And those are the kind of lies that the enemy reinforces and repeats until we pick them up and start telling them to ourselves. I'm not as good as everybody else. I don't measure up. I can never accomplish what they've accomplished. I'm less valuable. Those are wounds. Those are word wounds. Those are statement wounds. Those are things that affect the deep parts of a person. And they're blocking you from being all that God has for you and receiving all that God wants to give you. God wants to restore and bring healing. You've been wounded. God wants to bring healing. One of the most dangerous things is that as we respond to these lies, we then make vows. If someone abandons us or hurts us, we attempt to love, and instead of having love brought back to us, we get rejection. Then all of a sudden we start saying, well, I'm not going to risk loving again. I'm not going to put my heart out there again. That was too painful, so I'm gonna steel myself. I'm gonna wall myself off so that doesn't happen again. And we start making vows. I'm never gonna trust. I'm never gonna step out. I'm never gonna risk. And as we make those vows, we keep enclosing ourselves and blocking ourselves and walling ourselves off from what God had intended for us to experience. See, Jesus, our healer, wants to heal our damaged bodies, souls, and spirits. He wants to heal even the things that are deep down in our memory banks by showing us himself and revealing his truth. He wants to help us release that pain from those deep memories and reinterpret those painful times by the truth of his word and of his love. So Jesus heals our wounds in two ways. Jesus heals our emotional wounds in two ways. First, he heals our memories by entering into those memories, by showing you that you did not face those things alone. He shows you his presence. What is it that Scripture tells us over and over again? In Exodus, as the Israelites were being led out of bondage, and isn't that what we all need? We all need to be led out of bondage. As Israel was being led out of bondage, God said to Moses, my presence will go with you. Exodus 33. And I will not leave you. I will give you rest. Then Moses said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us out from here. Moses knew there was no hope if God was not with them. There was no hope if God was not present. But God repeated to Moses and then on again to Joshua, I am with you. I will not leave you. I will not desert you. My presence will journey with you out of slavery, out of bondage, out of captivity, into freedom, into wholeness, into provision. And God is still doing that through his presence. When Jesus took on flesh, became the incarnate God, it was God with us. It was Emmanuel, which means God with us. This was the living out of the promise as God is now here in our midst. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Mary is promised that God will be with us. And then as Jesus was ending his time of earthly ministry before his death, before his resurrection, before his ascension, he gave this promise. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then he goes on to describe, we see in the book of Acts chapter 1, that his Spirit is now with us forever. What is the reality for life as a Christian? It is the reality of being with God. God with us. God being in us. So that everything you face with Christ. Every part of your life, Christ was there. Everything you incurred, every pain you went through, you were not alone. God was with you. He was Emmanuel at that moment in time. Nothing, no experience, no hurt, was ever a time of you being abandoned or alone. That means we can reinterpret everything in the past and re-picture everything that's in the future and see it all as times when Christ is with us. Christ is with us. I heard the account of a little girl growing up in a very dysfunctional family. Parents that abused chemicals of different kinds, had gatherings where chemical abuse was rampant. And as you would imagine, when those kind of things are going on, anger billows out and over. This little girl recalls numerous times of hiding in the corner of her bedroom, behind the bed, around the edge of the dresser, cowering in fear as yells and commotion and things being thrown and things falling over were occurring in the outer room of the house. She grew up to be a woman of great fear and anxiety and depression and all sorts of these different emotional things that were holding her back. As she looked into this and was guided by a Christian counselor, she was invited to think about, well, where was Christ? Where was Jesus? What was God doing? Were you really alone? Were you really that little girl all by yourself cowering in the corner as the adults were doing dangerous, harmful things in the outer part of the house? She prayed a daring prayer. She said, God, take me back to that time and let me see what you were doing. Now, you know Scripture. You know about God's promises. What do you think God revealed to this little girl who is now a grown woman? There was a sense, an impression that came so powerfully upon her that moved her to tears. As she invited the Holy Spirit to speak to her about these times of wounding, she was given an ability to recognize truth. And it was the truth of God's presence. It was the truth of Christ sitting next to her, shielding her. She never saw it physically, but it was the reality. Jesus was with her in her time of what she thought was her most alone and most endangered time. And Jesus is with you. He was with you then. He's with you now. He'll be with you in the future. That's the promise of Scripture. So how does Jesus heal? He goes into those parts of our lives, takes us into those memory banks, those times when we were wounded so deeply, and encourages us to see the reality of his presence. He is Christ, God, with us. He is Emmanuel. His presence is there. And what happens when his presence is there? What happens when Christ is present? What does Christ do when he's present? He speaks truth. He gives hope. He encourages hearts. He corrects misunderstandings. Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. I encourage you to look at this verse differently than you've ever maybe looked at it before. Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. Picture this as being spoken to that little girl cowering in a corner. Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. My child, little one, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let my words penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole being. Our God is a speaking God who loves each and every one of his children and speaks his truth to bring healing to hearts. There's no need to carry those wounds, carry those sorrows. The Master invites you to let him heal the parts of you that were hurt. There's one second thing that he does as we're encountering him in our areas of woundedness, he then, secondly, delivers you from the demonic opposition, from the influence of the demonic that might be attached to those areas of wounds or those memories that you have. Christ said, or the scripture says, John 8:36, whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. That's what Jesus is all about. 1 John 3:8 says, Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Now the devil is trying to wrap you up, keep you in bondage, keep you chained up and pressed down and discouraged and hopeless. But Christ came to deliver you from the devil's lies. And so Christ sets you free. He delivers you from demonic opposition. So I want to give you 5 action steps, and I realize I've taken too long to get to this point. So I'm going to give you these very quickly, but I invite you to visit with me. We can walk through these individually. These are steps that each one of us can take on our own, but sometimes we need a trusted friend. And these 5 steps only work for true, surrendered Christians, for a person that's had Christ rescue them, for someone that said, Jesus, I can't rescue myself, I need you to set me free, to a person that's invited Jesus to fill them with his Spirit. These action steps work for them. They'll work for you. The first step, identify the strongholds of your life. Ask Christ to reveal to you, what are the things that are holding me back? What are the lies I believed? What are the areas of my life where I was wounded and I reacted wrongly? I reacted out of the flesh. So become a person who's spiritually self-aware as the Holy Spirit opens things up to you and reveals the strongholds of your life. And as he does that, you invite him by prayer to do that in you. As he does that, you can list them, you can make note of them, and then you can allow him to enter into those spots. Number one, identify the strongholds of your life. Number two is you renounce the demonic lies that are part of that area of woundedness. Scripture says that if we resist the devil, he will flee from you. So we resist the devil, and we say, Satan, I bind you, I cut off your access to me, and I end your attack against me in these areas of my woundedness. You deal with the devil. You don't just lay down and roll over and let him smash you, walk on you, continue to harass you. And you certainly don't continue to repeat his lies to yourself. You confront the enemy. You renounce his lies. Thirdly, you receive the healing truth of the Word of God applied by the Holy Spirit to your wounds. Do you realize what the Bible is? It's a book of promises and love notes. The Bible is God's word to you. It's God saying, I love you, I cherish you, I gave myself for you. It's God promising to be with you for always, forever and ever and ever in every situation. And so we open up the word of God and we receive the healing truth. God says that we have value to him. He says that he's going to set us free from the attacks of the enemy. He says that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that we are free, that we are holy. We sang holy, holy, holy before I preached, and it was true of God, but now God is in the process of making you holy. That's why the scriptures, the letters to the churches all start with, to the saints in a particular city. They're the holy ones. Not that they're living perfectly, but that God has made them clean, forgiven, made holy by the work of Christ in their life. So we receive that. We receive the truth. We receive God's word, and it brings healing to our areas of hurt. Step number 4 is we then place our whole life, our body, our soul, and our spirit into his hands. We say, God, I'm yours. I'm not going to try to run things my own. I'm not going to try to let my own willpower or own emotional aptitude lead the way. I'm going to put my life in your hands, God. And we can declare the truth of this scripture from Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. That's our new identity. Ones who live in the tower of God and are safe. And then number 5, we invite the Holy Spirit to fill these now cleaned out parts of our being, to fill these vacated areas of our life. Ephesians 5:18 says, be continually filled with the Spirit. That's inviting God to move in these areas that used to be areas of woundedness and now we become areas of greatest strength. Physicians tell us that when a large bone is broken, when it heals and mends after being properly set, that is now the strongest part of that bone. It'll never break right there again. It doesn't mean that a few inches down the road or down the bone it might not break. But that area where it was knit together by the healing power of God is the strongest part. Friends, what Satan intended for evil in your life, the Holy Spirit wants to turn into an area of great victory, an area of great strength. He wants to heal your wounds, heal your identity, heal your understanding of who you are, making you spirit aware. It goes even beyond being self-aware, knowing who we are, but who the Spirit is inside of us and what He's doing to us. He wants to knit you together so you are stronger than imaginable. Sometimes I wish I could preach longer. You're going to have to come back for step two on this one. Are you willing to trust God with your heart? Are you willing to invite Jesus to open you up, to expose any lies that are festering there around a wound that you received at one point in your life? I think your future is more Christ-like because your past is being redeemed. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, Heavenly Father, You love us, and it grieves You when You see us cowering in fear or surrendering to a lie. So by faith in You and Your Word, we now choose to grab a hold of Your truth. We invite You to remake our whole personality, our whole memory bank, our whole sense of who we are. We invite You to bring healing to the parts of us that were wounded, to bring correction to the wrong beliefs, to make us aware of Your presence. To give us ears to hear Your voice. We invite You, Holy Spirit, to fill us to overflowing. Fill every area of our being. And then fill every relationship. Fill every connection we have. We believe You want us to be like You. And we believe You are in the process of doing this. We receive Your work right now. In Christ's holy name, amen.